So, to dive into the season, Anne-Sophie Mutter has increasingly esoteric tastes in repertoire. How did you get her to do Tchaikovsky?
Good question. It's very simple. I've never collaborated with her, but now I am doing in this April, so in 2 months, 3 months, a tour, German tour, with the London Philharmonic, with her as always, with the Tchaikovsky. So, and it's actually Tchaikovsky and Shostakovich 5, and Tchaikovsky and Prokofiev 5, not turning, but always Tchaikovsky. So when we decided to invite her to be the second, my second opening night guest, it was easy in a way to convince her. I said, look, we have done the Tchaikovsky, let's do this together. Not that I would have objected to anything else, but opening night is something special, I think. It needs to launch the season. We have a different audience. I could sense that this year. And even Renée Fleming's choices, which I'm really happy that, you know, she did. But, you know, for some of the audience, I understand it was the first time they were hearing that. And now we're going in a slightly different direction this time and going with the canon of Tchaikovsky. Because also I think that Tchaikovsky is a composer where the orchestra and I meet in a very natural way. When we do Bruckner and Wagner, it's not that it's not natural, but we are creating a common sound and culture with it. As when we do Russian music, I feel that it's more, I'm stopping less in rehearsal, for example, or, you know, there's much more nonverbal action going on with this. And it's good to cultivate all of those sides, the immediate joy and also the long-term development.
What to program with Beethoven's Ninth? That's always a question. You know, sometimes people just do the first, sometimes they do the eighth. This is very unusual. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know this Nico Muhly piece.
It's only for organ, and I love that piece. I love that piece, and since always what embarrasses me when we have Beethoven 9 is that we use the chorus only at the end.
Yeah.
So what I have done in the past is indeed Beethoven 1, but what I've done in Rotterdam was a piece by Kurtag, which was, to go with chorus only. Chorus in a few instruments, like accordions and harmoniums, you know, real Kurtag. And it was songs of despair. So we had Ode to Joy and Songs of Despair, very European kind of theme. And I wanted to reflect something here, but didn't want to go exactly with Kurtag. So Nico Muhly is a fascinating composer, I think, who bridges a lot of, in a very 21st century way, a lot of kinds of music. I mean, he's not shy of boundaries. Well, actually, he's shy of boundaries. There's no boundaries with that guy. So we never met properly, but we exchanged a lot on Facebook and Twitter and emails, and in, again, a very 21st century fashion. So one day I just communicated with him and said, look, would you be ready to take one of your choral pieces, still featuring the organ, because this is some things I want to do increasingly, but adding the orchestra. And that seemed to be the best fit because it's a shorter piece. And I believe it's also a very listenable one. You know, it's something that the audience will relate to. It features the choir twice. So I'm very happy because as a beginning of season, this time we had the Gabby Frank piece. I think it's important to always cultivate to have not only necessarily a commission, now it's a half commission, I would say. It's a commission of an arrangement. But at least it's a very recent piece, and that's all.
Well, you know, his opera, when it was done here, audiences really responded to it. It wasn't just, you know, like a few intelligentsia and critic types. I mean, audiences really came away from it very engaged, very...
And that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something to... I want to, you know, I have favorites maybe, but I think it's also a responsibility to showcase many styles.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.